Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I'm here to tell you about an awesome way for you to rub elbows with your favorite podcast host here on the Sports History Network, while at the same time rooting for your hometown team this upcoming NFL season. You've been hearing all about our partner, Tailgate Fantasy, the past few weeks. Well, dig on this. Tailgate created a special Sports History Network league for our listeners, so we can put the word fan back into fantasy football together. It's free to join, and if you do so before the season kicks off, you'll automatically be entered into a drawing for a free t-shirt from one of our other partners, Home Field Apparel. It's a win-win-win! So hurry up today and head to sportshistorynetwork.com/tailgate for all the details. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/tailgate.
The Christmas season might be over, but the football season's still going strong late in December. And today, on the football history headlines, we'll talk about how the Giants fall 3 weeks after winning the title to an independent team that nobody heard of that was undefeated. The results of three NFL championship games that were played on this day, and a four-time Super Bowl winning coach hangs up the whistle. It's all these stories and more in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and I hope you had a joyous holiday season. And we're still in the middle of football season and the football history headlines for December 26. And we'll start off those with the year 1927 in Pawhuska, Oklahoma. The all-Native American team called the Hominy Indians defeated the NFL's New York Giants, who had just won the title of world champions a mere 3 weeks earlier. The website iloveancestry.com has a brilliant article on the game from which we share some of the highlights. The Hominy squad was made up of 100% Native Americans, and they traveled around the country as an independent professional team. The group had never been defeated or even tied, and they ended up winning 26 games in their winning streak. This team was owned and funded by two brothers who lived in the Osage Reservation named Ira and Otto Hamilton. The players were all Native Americans who had been gathered from places all over the nation. Hominy had the greatest exposure they could ask for when they got the chance to play the NFL champions. They took advantage of that opportunity, extending their win streak as they outlasted the G-Men 13-6. According to theluckyshow.com, the Giants would lose two more exhibition games in Florida in early 1926 after this contest in Oklahoma. Rumors say they played in California, too, as Ernie Nevers promised to coach them on the West Coast should they play there. December 26, 1943, at Wrigley Field in Chicago, the National Football League Championship game is played as the Washington Redskins face the Chicago Bears. The Bears were guided by Hall of Fame quarterback Sid Luckman, who had possibly his best season ever by an NFL quarterback. Luckman, on the season, according to the Bleacher Report story on the game, went 110 of 202 passing attempts for 2,194 yards and 28 TDs, with a total of 12 passes picked off. That makes his passer rating for the season an astounding 107.5 for a season. The Bears were 8-1-1 coming into the game and didn't have their owner George Halas for about half the year, as he had left to go serve in the Navy during the war. The Redskins had a great signal caller too in Sammy Baugh. These two teams recently squared off in championship play. The Bears crushed Washington in 1940, 73-0. But in 1942, it was the Redskins who held on the title as they defeated Chicago 21-7. We'll leave the details of the game for you to read in the Bleacher Report article, but we do have the final score of this rubber game. The Bears won 41-21 to capture the franchise's sixth NFL title. That takes us to our next championship game, and it was played on December 26, 1954 at Cleveland Municipal Stadium. Lou Groza successfully kicks 8 extra points for a new title game record in the National Football League Championships. According to the American Football Database website, it was the 3rd straight year that the Detroit Lions were matched up against the Cleveland Browns in the season finale to determine the best team in the NFL. The Lions featured their star players with Bobby Lane and Doak Walker, who helped lead the team to the Western Division crown with a 9-2-1 record. On the other sideline, Otto Graham and the legendary coach Paul Brown guided the Browns to become the Kings of the East Division, sporting a 9-3 record. Doak Walker got the Lions roaring first with a 36-yard field goal, but it would be the only lead Detroit would see all day as the Browns rattled off 3 unanswered touchdowns and cruised the rest of the game. The Cleveland Browns dismantled the Detroit Lions 56-10 to claim yet another NFL title. December 26, 1955, at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The Browns must have enjoyed playing the National Football League Championship game the day after Christmas. They defended their title by traveling to meet the LA Rams. Cleveland got up early in the game on a first-half field goal and a pick 6 and never looked back. Otto Graham tossed 2 touchdown passes and ran the ball in for 2 more as the Cleveland Browns beat the Los Angeles Rams 38-14 per the ProFootballReference.com website. The Browns won their 3rd NFL championship of the 1950s in winning this game. Hey, and since we talked about 3 NFL championship games on December 26th, let's talk about one more and add 4. This is going to be December 26, 1960 at Philadelphia's Franklin Field. The National League Football Championship for the 1960 had Vince Lombardi's Green Bay Packers faced with the challenge of the high-flying Philadelphia Eagles. The Packers had just done the unthinkable and won the Western Division by fending off the 2-time defending juggernaut Baltimore Colts, who dropped their last 4 contests to sink back into the pack of mediocre teams. The Eagles, on the other hand, stayed 1 game ahead of the Browns to capture the East. One of the key plays in the game happened in the first quarter. The Packers were deep in Eagles territory after they received the ball on an interception. Charlie Bednarek stuffed fullback Jim Taylor on 4th down at the Eagles' 5-yard line to keep the Pack from adding digits to the scoreboard on that drive. Veteran quarterback Norm Van Brocklin, who played in multiple championship games with the Rams, threw for 202 yards and scored to help overcome the 1 interception he threw early as the Eagles outlasted Green Bay 17-13 in the final. Quite unbelievably, this was the lone playoff loss for the Packers coach Vince Lombardi in his entire 10-year career as an NFL headman. Lombardi must have learned some lessons at the end of his 2nd season in Green Bay at this game. Of course, over the next 7 seasons, the Lombardi-led Packers would win the NFL 3 championships and the first 2 Super Bowls, a total of 5 titles. Now let's take a quick break from our headlines and let me remind you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
Hello, sports fans. My name is Mark Mortier, and my show is called Yesterday Sports. My show mainly focuses on old school sports from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. I'm a member of the Pro Football Researchers Association and a sports historian. I have a podcast every other Tuesday, so come join us at the Sports History Network for a trip down memory lane.
Okay, I told you that was the last of the NFL championships. Well, let's throw in an AFL championship on December 26th. It happened in 1965 at Balboa Stadium in San Diego. That 1965 AFL championship game was held billing the hometown San Diego Chargers facing the Buffalo Bills for the league title. In the contest, it was the Bills who blanked the Chargers 23-0 in what OnThisDay.com website refers to as a repeat of the previous year's win over San Diego. December 26, 1975. OnThisDay.com also tells us that the 5th Fiesta Bowl game was played. In that game, the number 7 Arizona State University team knocked off a tough number 6 Nebraska Cornhuskers 17-14. December 26, 1976, at Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, the AFC Championship game took place, and for the 3rd year in a row, Oakland and Pittsburgh vied for the Lamar Hunt Trophy. The Pro Football Hall of Fame website tells us how the Steelers had won the title game in the previous 2 years and went on to hoist the Lombardi, and they were eyeing a three-peat, but the silver and black had other things in mind. The Raiders took full advantage of the Pittsburgh rushing tandem of Rocky Blyer and Franco Harris being sidelined with injuries as they held the Steelers offense to a mere 72 yards on the ground that day. The Raiders offense, on the other hand, were run heavy with 157 yards rushing, give the Oakland Raiders a 24-7 win over the Steelers. And since we're talking about the AFC Championship game in 76, well, on December 26, 1976, the NFC Championship game was also played at Metropolitan Stadium in Bloomington, Minnesota. The Minnesota Vikings hosted the LA Rams to see who would represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. ProFootballReference.com tells us that the Norsemen jumped out to an early 17-0 first half lead. The Rams attempted a comeback, powering in 13 points of their own in response in the third stanza. But Sammy Johnson of the Men in Purple pounded into a 13-yard score in the fourth to seal the Minnesota 24-13 victory over the Los Angeles Rams. December 26, 1980. What a college matchup in the Fiesta Bowl. Neighboring states collided before they were both members of the Big Ten Conference as number 10 Penn State met number 11 Ohio State. The Nittany Lions took home the victory as they knocked off the Buckeyes that year 31-19 in the Fiesta Bowl. December 26, 1991. Chuck Knoll retires as the NFL coach of the Steelers after 23 years at the helm. Knoll's tenure tied former New York Giants coach Steve Owen as the third longest stint with one team in NFL history. Former Green Bay coach Curly Lambeau and former Dallas coach Tom Landry each coached 29 seasons. The Washington Post shares that Knoll started as a Steelers head man in 1969, where he and the team suffered through a 1-13 first season. All he did from there was turn the team into a powerhouse that registered 209 victories for its coach and won four Super Bowl titles in that span of six seasons. December 26, 1992, New York Jets announcer Marty Glickman retires at the age of 74, per the OnThisDay.com website. December 26, 2000, according to the GeorgiaEncyclopedia.org, Mark Reich was named the 25th head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. The apex of Rick's Georgia career was in 2002 season, where the Bulldogs finished with a 13-1 record and won the school's first SEC championship and then defeated Florida State in a Sugar Bowl. Rick led the Bulldogs for 15 seasons, registering an awesome 145 wins and 51 losses in the record, two SEC championship berths, and nine bowl game wins. All right, we also have some Hall of Fame birthdays to recognize for this December 26th, and the first one happens in 1905 in Hoopston, Illinois. The Navy halfback Tom Hamilton was born. The National Football Foundation voters placed Tom Hamilton in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1965. December 26, 1924, Claremont, California. Army's prolific halfback Glenn Davis celebrated his birth. The College Football Hall of Fame swung its doors open wide in 1961 to welcome the legend of Glenn Davis into its memories. December 26, 1960, Appleton, Wisconsin. Lawrence running back Scott Repert came into this world. The NFF recognized Scott Repert as a member of one of the collegiate greats as a new induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2003. December 26, 1966, Dallas, Texas. The great defensive back of the Oklahoma Sooners, Ricky Dixon, was born. Ricky Dixon was honored with an induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2019. You've done a great job of listening today, and now we have one more thing for you to do. Hit that subscribe button on your podcast player, or check back with your podcast provider, or look at PigskinDispatch.com or TheSportsHistoryNetwork.com to make sure you don't miss the next episode, which will be out tomorrow for the December 27th football history headlines. And on that date, we'll talk about the youngest coach in NFL history is hired. The Colts, Browns, and Lions all win NFL titles on the date, and one player sets an NFL record. It's all coming up tomorrow, so make sure you don't miss it. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.